Looking at this photo, which Kevin very kindly gave me, I'm just reminded that Annie Kate said last week, so Dave, do you just have it on there just to like think good thoughts about yourself and think, get myself confident while I'm preaching? So thank you, Annie Kate. I'm keeping it there just for that fantastic idea. About my picture. I'm just looking at it and having warm, gushy feelings about myself. Thank you, Russell. Okay. Well, Paul does tell us we should love ourselves, didn't he? So is that am I out of context there? Great. So good to be with you. So we've been doing a series on the family, and we're continuing to do that. You might think that this week is the nitty-gritty, depending on your situation and circumstances, but certainly from this week, things are going to be getting into the spicy stuff. I'll mention that at the end, what's coming after this. But this morning, I want to, having read last week the first two chapters and 10 verses of Ephesians 1-3, this morning I only want to read 4 verses. So if you would turn to Ephesians 6, and we're going to read the first 4 verses. So we have covered just a couple of weeks ago about husbands, and we spoke about that, and sorry that we predominantly seem to be talking about men, but this morning I really want to talk about fathers, and Angela will be coming at some point and talking about mothers, won't you, Angela? Not today, but okay. Let's just pray first, just while you're turning that up. Did you bring your Bibles this week? Whoa, fantastic. Okay, Father God, we just want to say thank you so much. Thank you that you are a wonderful Father. Thank you that you taught us to pray, Our Father in heaven. And thank you that we have this wonderful expression of Abba that you exhort us to cry out. And it's the relationship that you want with us, Lord, and it's the a relationship that you know so much about. You are the perfect Father. And although it's almost impossible and certainly rare to see that in these days, yet we know that we have this treasure that you can give to us. And even though it's in an earthen vessel, we thank you, Lord, that you can instruct us and help us to be the fathers that you want us to be, our wives want us to be, and our children need us to be. And so we pray, just come and help us by your Spirit this morning to glorify Jesus. Amen. Okay, well, don't turn off at this point, ladies, and anybody who's not yet a father, because there's so much in these scriptures. Your father is possibly the most important person in your life, certainly in your formative years, and your father probably has had the most power to influence how you are and what you look like and how you act. And for all of us, I mean, the reality of that is so true. And I guess the immediate question that follows on from that is that the big question for all of us is, what was our dads like? You know, what is or was our dad a source of joy, or a source of anger, a source of loss, or a great help to us? And when we're trying to tackle such a massive subject, it is very, very difficult, because all of you have got your own story. Some of them, you know, that they're memories now, but good memories, and for some of you it just provokes pain. And that's just because we're all different, all our circumstances are different. Some of us have been privileged to have been brought up by Christian parents, some not Christian, but they've done a great job. And sadly for others, fathers have been absent or, cruel. And so There is so much in this. This sermon is for all of us this morning. And so for you men that are dads and your children are still with you, and for you guys that yet to be married but looking to be married, what kind of father will you be? What kind of dad will you be? For you ladies, what kind of man will raise your kids? And how will your children see you or look to you? Will they be able to follow you and learn from you? It's such a massive subject. And I think it's fair to say that generally speaking, that men have handed their responsibility over so much in our generation. And we've handed, you know, the responsibility of looking after our children over predominantly to wives, when that is part of the role, a very important part, obviously, because God put us together. But we've often ducked our responsibilities, and so often even childminders can have more time with our children than what we have as parents in these days. And we've handed over responsibility to schools, to churches sometimes. And even if it gets that bad, we've handed them over to the responsibility of prisons and so on and so forth. Because if fathers are not what they are called to be, then sometimes the child doesn't have a good start in life and it can all go pear-shaped fairly quick. So this is just a massive subject. So I believe that the state of the nation that we are living in these times, is largely due to the fact that we have ignored Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6 about husbands and wives and responsibilities, and how we, you know, lead the home. And then obviously it talks about parents and children a little bit in what we're going to look at this morning. And so let's just read those four verses. And okay, children. Okay, that's what Paul says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is children. If you've got a 60-year-old mother who's still telling you what you should do and how you should live your life, you need to tell her that she's not scripturally correct. If you're in your 20s or your 30s and your parents are still telling you what to do, they are out of order, because you have, if you're married, you have left your father and your mother and you've been joined to your wife. This message is to young children, okay? Before the age that they go off to themselves, so whatever that might be. Certainly, I would think up to about 18, I think that would fall into this category. But younger children, not older, okay? So if you're 45 and your mum's still telling you what to do, actually, this is not an easy context, because as you are preaching, the tendency is to think of people, actually, that might be. So please forgive me. I've not prepared this sermon for anybody in particular. I'm trying to be careful where I look, even. Please be with me on this. And just ask the Holy Spirit what the Holy Spirit is saying, because we are all different and our circumstances are different. So it's children. What? What's the next word? Obey. Whoa. That's one for the, you know, the kind of sociologists, isn't it? They hate that word for a start. Well, there's no wonder they hate Christians in the Bible, in the world. Children, obey. I mean, they're telling us, you know, well, we'll come on to it in a minute, but obeying is a word that is not very popular in these days. And nevertheless, it says their children, obey who? Your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So obviously he's talking there about the Ten Commandments. So that the law is still prevalent even, obviously, that it may be well with you. It's the first commandment with promise. that it may be well with you and you may live a long life on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke or exasperate, I think, your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I keep hearing Angela chuckle down here. I have to keep remembering as well that I have one of my children on the front row. I'm in difficult situations all around here, aren't I? The first exhortation is to those that are under authority. That's the children. I'm afraid, children, if you are still under 18, you are under the authority of your parents. It's a good week for the youth to stay in, wasn't it? Whoa. Very good. You are still under the authority of your parents. And then Paul addresses those in authority. And so we'll try and do it that way. This obeying an authority is a massive issue today. And I observe in so many different situations the fact that parents are not authoritative, it would seem. I'm generalizing, because I know that some of you absolutely are. But I see so many situations where parents aren't. And, I was thinking how I might address people, because sometimes I say a little Jimmy, but then, you know, that's not particularly helpful. And then I might say, oh, Freddie, little Freddie, and then, well, Freddie's not here this morning. So anyway, the little child, and, they go around saying, don't do that. And then they say again, don't do that. And then they say again, you shouldn't be doing that, don't do that. And then they think that they've disciplined their children. But you're not disciplining them. You've got to follow through. If you tell them not to do something and they keep doing it, then there should be a consequence. So for you to say, well, I've told them, and they're just not obeying me, you're not having a consequence to what they're doing. And I listen to parents saying, don't do that, no, don't do that, and or don't touch that, and then they touch it again. There's no consequences. And so the kids just keep getting away with it. Children, you are supposed to obey what your parents say. Now, we'll come on to the parent stuff in a minute, because there are things that you should and shouldn't do as well. But I actually think that some parents think that if just by saying it, that they're actually doing it, when they're not. The kids are taking the mickey out of them. They just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And so children are a blessing. They absolutely are, but they need parenting and they need discipline. And I'm sure that there are any amount of you could just quite easily preach this. And by the way, if you think that you have got a preach in you, and I would encourage you, get along to some of the cell meetings, start contributing there, because it would be great to see different people handling, you know, God's word, different perspectives on things. And we do obviously mix it up. I mean, myself and Pete and Jez and Angela, who do the most of the speaking on a Sunday morning, we are all quite different, and we have encouraged one another to be, you know, in the gifting that God has called us to be, in the way that we approach things. But maybe we're missing out on somebody who could do a fantastic job, particularly if you were a father this morning. With young children, I'm sure that you would have had something wonderful to say about this. So children are a blessing, but they absolutely need parenting. And I want to tell you something that you already know. Children are not born with a perfect nature. Okay? So our parenting must be shaped by biblical convictions. Because people would tend to say in the world that children are born innocent and that they are born, you know, kind of without spot or blemish. But there's something in them by nature, if you like, by creation, I would prefer to say. And the world says, oh, they're just innocent. You know, just to create an environment where their heart can become just whatever it wants to be. What a load of garbage that is. Just create the atmosphere where they can flourish and they can become whatever. Well, actually, when I look around, the world is not doing too good. Now, I'm all for creating an environment where they, you know, can find freedom to express who God has created them to be. But that needs to have parameters, doesn't it? It needs to have boundaries. It needs to have discipline to actually shape that. And so absolutely release them into what God has called them to be. But you can't just kick back and let them go, like this kind of Mother Earth kind of theory. And so children need a new nature. They need to receive forgiveness and salvation, and they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just like we did. And maybe that has already come to them, but I want to say we spent a lot of time in Ephesians in these last few months, but I would say this, and I think it's very, very helpful. Ephesians chapters 1 to 3, we read most of all that out last week, are about who Jesus is and what Jesus does, what Jesus has done for us. Chapters 4 to 6 are about who we are then in Christ. Okay, so the first part is what Jesus did. The second part is who we are in Christ. And children are not born into a relationship with Christ. They don't inherit a Christian nature. They don't inherit a Christian heritage. They have to be born again like anybody else does, and it's up to us to shape who they are. And it's very important. We're not just looking at a kind of a behavior modification. It's not just about giving them boundaries. It's not just about setting things in place. It's not just about disciplining them, because it's not about a life improvement plan. It's about salvation. Your children need Jesus. Is that true? Yeah. Nobody had ever spoke to me about Jesus until I was about 19. And the name was never mentioned in our house. Well, it was, but not in the way that you might understand it to mean. And so it's very, very important. I want to give you another observation. Religious parents actually only care about the outward obedience. They only care what their children look like in front of other people. That is rubbish. Don't go down that route. Religion tends to be about show, in my experience. I don't have a downer on religion, but I do have an upper on reality, on being, you know, what God called us to be and being in a relationship with Him, rather than it just be a kind of a surface thing. And again, that's so much the opposite of all this parenting nonsense that we hear about in the world. You see, the whole world, we need to get used to this, guys. Increasingly in this day and age, the whole world disagrees with us on almost everything. And that will get worse and worse and worse from this point forward. Because in generations past, actually, the world would have agreed quite a bit on stuff that we believed in. Now, they might not have gone to church, but the principle of it, because our Western society particularly has been shaped on Judeo-Christian values. But it's not now. They're taking them all out of there one by one, trying to dismantle it piece by piece. So it shouldn't be a shock that people disagree with us, that people have a go at us. And if you go to work and talk about anything that we've spoke about in these few weeks and the weeks that are coming on a Sunday morning, most of your colleagues will no doubt absolutely disagree with you. But it's very important that the mums and dads agree on how they bring up their kids and teach them. Because if you've not observed this already, your kids will try every kind of thing, if they want something, to set you against your husband or wife, whatever the situation is. And so little Johnny asks for a biscuit, and the mum says, no, because you're going to have your tea in a minute. You can bet that within 3 minutes they've gone and asked the dad, if he's around, can I have a biscuit? Yeah, it's just they just do that naturally, don't they? And so it's very, very very, very interesting. So it's very important that you bring up, if you are about to get married or you're not married yet and you know your hope is to be married one day, you've got to be thinking and praying about the type of person that you are going to marry. Not just what they look like, not just how you see them, but you know what they're going to be like in their relationship, husbands and wives, their relationship to children, if you plan to have children, obviously is very, very important. And so you've got to teach your kids as mum and dad, if that's the situation. Incidentally, I know that, again, so many times there's only one parent on the scene. And I think the biblical ideal, we don't live in an ideal world, do we? But the biblical ideal is that there's a mother and a father there, because even in what Paul says here, he says, honour your father and mother. So that was the expectation in those days. Now we've come a long way and our society has changed drastically. But I would say this as a word of encouragement. One good parent is a damn sight better than two lousy parents. And so if you are parenting on your own, you do the best job that you can. And perhaps if you've been married or living with a Muppet, then the kids are a lot better off without that person. And you can settle down to doing the job that you are called to do. And, you know, we will pray for you. This is not just about, you are not second-class citizens. You are not, you know, just in the background in the church. We can't affect, you know, some things that happen. We can put things in place and pray that things come together, but we do not live in a perfect world. That will only come like what we sung about this morning. When death and everything pass and tears are no more, and then we will meet with Jesus and, whoa, we'll see that he's beautiful. And, yeah, he'll probably look at you and say, you're pretty good yourself as well. So God expects children to learn, to honour, and to obey. So it's one thing for you kids to obey, and sometimes that is a pain for you, actually. But obeying is the first thing. You're also supposed to honour your parents. So it says, honour your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. And the promise is that you'll live well and that you may live long on the earth. So if you want a good, healthy life, the Bible says that part of that is honouring your father and your mother. Honouring is more than just obeying. If your parents say, it's time for bed, or it's time, I want, if you're going out, I want you back for 8 o'clock, it's one thing to obey that, but it's another thing if you say, you know, that's not honouring them. That is not. You might be obeying them, but you're not doing it in an honouring way. It's very, very important that you do both. They are telling you for a reason. Now, particularly for you children, you think that they are the biggest pains sometimes that are around, and they are spoiling your life. No, they're not. They're shaping it to be the best that it could be. If they're good parents, they are absolutely trying their hardest to make your life be as good as it can be, not just now, but in the future as well. But parents, it's your responsibility to explain to them when they kick against. Don't just tell them, do it, just because I say. Explain to them why you want to do it. It'll make things a whole lot easier. Next time they want to kick the stairs as they're going up, or kick the door as they're going out, or kick the dog, or whatever it may be, they might think twice if they understand exactly what you are doing. So God expects children to learn, to honour and obey. That's verses 1 to 3. And we should not allow the excuses of our culture to create exceptions to Scripture. I'll say that again. We should not allow excuses of our culture to create exceptions to Scripture. So for instance, an ideal example, and I think I've probably used this myself, I can't remember, because it would have been a long time ago even if I said it. For example, the terrible twos. Who's heard of the terrible twos? So oh, it's okay. Between 2 and 3, it's all right for them to be evil. That's fine. But as soon as you light the birthday candles on the third birthday, well, they'll just be back to as good as gold again, won't they? Well, the eggs. But that's what culture tells us. Teenagers. Oh, it's just a teenage thing, isn't it? No, it's not just a teenage thing. The world has made it into a teenage thing to duck out of responsibility of sorting things out. They might be entering a new phase of life, but you've got to help them through that phase as well. Do not allow the excuses of culture to create exceptions to Scripture. Be scriptural. It is the best possible thing for your kids. Okay? So what are the answers? Well, there's a very, very important word here. Fathers. The answer to a lot of the world's problems, and actually, in fairness, the world would recognize this. The world has recognized for a while now that absent fathers is not a good thing. But that's where we're at. So there's a very important word here, fathers. Mums and dads, I must say this, mums and dads are equal for the well-being of children. Mums and dads have an equality in the home. However, the father, in Scripture at least, has the primary responsibility. That is, of course, if he is on the scene. The father has primary responsibility, even in a marriage where the mother and father are both there. At least that's what the Bible says. So men, fathers, are you doing a good job? Okay? Are you doing a good job? Is your wife glad to have you around? She's not telling your cat you go back out to work. Can't you do more hours? No. Do your kids honor and respect you? They're questions, obviously, individual questions for you. But it does lead to another very, very important question. Who will your sons or daughters marry? Okay? Who will your sons or daughters marry? Because they will probably marry somebody with similarities to you. That is an observation. Okay? Your daughters will probably marry men that are similar to you. They probably will. And you need to choose whether they're going to marry the type of man you are now or the type of man you were before you became a Christian. And I tell you what, you better make a good decision there. And that will be defined by how you model it to them now. Because if they marry you before you were a Christian, the person that you was before you were a Christian, you do not want to go there. You don't want to be the man that I was before I was a Christian. You've got to decide. Do you want your sons to become men like you? We have this thing now where we have like these stupid films, which actually I've never watched, but there's this mini-me thing, isn't there? Well, your son probably will be a mini-you. Have you wasted some time? Is there still some things to sort out? The Bible places a great emphasis on the years between 1 and 7 and says you need to shape your children while they're between those ages, because after that they will just go further and further and further away from that. And your wife is desperately hoping that you receive this message this morning. That is what she is hoping. Because your wife will love a biblical man. In fact, chances are... Anyway, yeah, I might not say that. Okay. Okay. Yes. Okay, let's go to verse 4. Verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. This is a big thing. But bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord, or the training and instruction of the Lord. Do not provoke your children or exasperate your children to wrath, but bring them up in the Lord. This is an absolutely massive thing. We could mention a couple of ways that we do provoke our children, and there is a long list. And I have to say that whilst in the main I have been told that I have done a great job, I have from time to time provoked my kids. And as I say, I've got a front row witness. It mainly comes when you are a critic, not an encourager. Okay? I don't know what my dad had modelled to him, and he's certainly different now. I have probably a better relationship with him now than what I've had before. But he did tend to be a critic rather than an encourager. Has a massive effect. Please do not just pick out the flaws in your child's character. There will be some. There will maybe be many. And you see fathers saying to their kids, "Come here!" And you just see the heads drop. And how they find the way to the father, they'll never know, because the head's usually down to the floor like that, because they know what is about to happen. And then you see these idiots slapping the kids around back at head and stuff like that. I've tackled people in town, and Angela certainly has, about, you know, slapping the kids around back at head. It's not a good thing. It does not help your children. And the assumption that your kids make is that you don't want to talk only if it's to criticize. That is a terrible relationship to be in. If you are the head of your house, if you have primary responsibility over your children, set the tone. Get advice. There are any amount of books out there. And there's so many books on parenting, and a lot of them are very, very good. But actually, there's probably a lot less books out there on fathers. But I would say if you're undertaking such a big job, you would do well to do some research into it. I mean, I'm so glad that I had the opportunity to know Jesus before I had any kids. Some of you don't have that. Some of our fathers never had that. But if you know the stuff, make sure that you look into it. Look it out. It's well worth it. Physically, we can provoke them by getting in their face, intimidating them. Sometimes it only takes a look. It only took a look from my dad to intimidate me. And some of you from that generation. That was just a natural thing in their generation. They often just did that. Goading. Glaring at them. So you're in a situation where you can't do anything now, but your kids know that as soon as the opportunity arises, they're in for it. That does not help them. You've got to explain to them why they are acting wrong, if they're acting wrong. If they need some discipline, you've got to tell them why. You can't just do it as they just become disaffected and they just lose all confidence and all hope. And then it's very interesting when it says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. The wrath will either be against you or against somebody else." It's a very sad situation when some young men, particularly when they get to teenage years, they're just waiting for that day when they either don't have to listen or can get payback. Sad. Because you have goaded them into such a situation that they're going to take their rage out, this wrath that the Bible mentions, out either on you or on somebody else. And largely, that will be down to you. Not the kids that they're knocking about with. They won't be knocking about the kids that they're knocking about with if you might have done a bit better job in the first place. I praise God for the fact that our kids were always popular at school. They unarang with an in crowd, but actually, I have to say, they never caused us a moment's bother. Absolutely, it's a credit to them. If there's any credit in that for me, then that's fine. But it is. Angela did go out for a walk one night and find, was it Jordan or his mates, at the top of a lamppost messing about doing some stuff. And we did once have a phone call from Matthew's girlfriend's mum at the time saying, do you know your son's setting fire to a field at the back of my house? And he's denied it ever since. But anyway, there were some funny things. Our children were not perfect like that, but they really were great. They really did a great job, caused us no problems. So don't exasperate them, because they may end up... A lot of the nutters that you see around and about, these idiots that have a few beers and want to take the world on, and you included, and these idiots that get into road rage and chase you halfway around until, you know, they've dragged you out of the car and punched you or something like that, they've probably been men that have been provoked by their dad to wrath. Probably learn all that stuff off their dad. And sometimes we've just got to make decisions just not to do that. Emotionally, if you are absent from love, if you find it difficult to show affection, learn how to show it. I absolutely know, I have to realise that my mum or dad might actually listen to this stuff, but I do actually know that my parents loved me. That is without question. But it's only since we've had our kids that they have actually started to speak those words out. I mean, it was an unwritten thing, but we never actually told each other that we loved each other. But one generation on, my parents actually always say that to their grandkids, which, okay, we're getting there. Something's changing. And if it's bad, things can always change. Because when Jesus arrives on the scene, the atmosphere changes, doesn't it? Okay? You might not have had Jesus on the scene before, but now he is, you can change it. Affirmation. Your children need affirmation, even in the smallest thing. They're looking for you to do that. And particularly you with daughters, if you do not affirm them, before too long, they'll be looking for male affirmation somewhere else. And that might not lead into a good situation. Okay? By the way, if your teenage daughters start dating, you know, you should have already put the background work in to the type of boy that they will choose. Because when some spotty teenager turns up with designs on your daughter, you need to explain to him very carefully, and I've said this so many times before, that you've seen 15 seasons of CSI, and you absolutely know how to get rid of his body if the need arises. And I remember the first time I wasn't a Christian, first time I ever went to Angela's house, and most of you will know Jeff, not all of you will know Jeff, that's Angela's dad. Her parents had been Christians for quite some time, but when I walked into their house with Angela, I remember they lived in a house on Leeds Road at the time, and they had a long hallway. And houses on there tend to have really long hallways from the front to the back of the house. And I walked in. I was invited in. I didn't just walk in. They invited me in. And Jeff walked up to me. He was a mild-mannered guy, wasn't he? He absolutely shoulder-barged me into the wall. Just saying. I'm here. I'm around. I've got, hey, got my eyes on you. You have got to protect your daughters from the spotty kid that you were when you were 16 and the designs, any designs that you might have had. Okay, big thing. Oh, right, I need to press on. Big thing, you've got to be prepared to forgive. This is one of the biggest things. You will not always be right. Unfortunately, my dad used to say to me, do as I say, not as I do. One of the worst phrases in the history of the world. That does not help you at all. All it does is frustrate you. I want to tell you one of the things that I did often was to say sorry if I got something wrong. In fact, probably more than what I do now, according to Jordan and Matthew. Dad, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. No, I'm not. You were wrong. No, I'm not. And then we'll have an argument and I'll be wrong. And then they'll say, well, they're waiting for me to say sorry. And in some ways, in the competitive kind of nature that I have, it's sometimes harder for me to say sorry now. They know that I mean that, but you've got to say it. In the kids' formative years, if you do something wrong, you've got to sit them down and say, actually, Dad was wrong. I'm sorry. Let's sort this out. And if you can pray with them and pray that you're sorry, all the more better. I did used to pray for our kids, and I read books to them every night, but we didn't sit down and have family prayers and stuff like that too often. As I remember, Angela shared for a large part of our married life as church. She despised church anyway, and we went, but it wasn't always enjoyable. And so there are some things that I still wish I might have done more of, but that's it now. But if you can pray with your kids, absolutely all the better. Please do better than me at that. And so you've got to be prepared to say that you're sorry. Don't be a hypocrite. Everybody who observes people going to church are good observing hypocrites. Okay? Another thing is, and we're coming to an end soon, be fun. Have fun with your kids. Don't always say, oh, I've just got home from work. I'll tell you what, if you come in from work every night, oh, can't play now. Oh, I've been to work. Your kids are very soon going to say, this work thing is not a very good idea at all. And then they're going to go to university or something while they're 37. Not because they want to learn more, just because they don't want to work, really. So, yes, okay, that's a bit of a sweeping statement, isn't it? But there again, you'll work it out. So, yes, tell them stories. Embellish. If you tell them a story out of the Bible, get into it. Goliath the nasty man. I always remember Goliath the nasty man. And we used to have sword fights and chopping people's heads off and all kinds of things. Fantastic. I never had girls, so you're going to have to work that one out. You're going to have to tell them, you know, stories about Esther and Ruth and all these. Actually, you can get books on it, I think. Did you guys have some books? Stories for young boys or stories for young... Ten girls or boys that changed the world. Fantastic. C.S. Lewis, brilliant stories. Get in there. There's always sword fights for boys and nice things for girls and stuff like that. You should be reading to them Bible every night. If your daughter wants to chop somebody's head off, that's fine nowadays anyway, so don't worry about that. But be fun. Have fun times. Think of things to do. We used to do all kinds of things. Things that I'd never have done. I used to literally think, what could I do with the kids? And often, men, if predominantly, this happens less and less now, probably, but if your wife is at home with the kids while you are at work, particularly up until they go to school, which often happens, and you're coming in from work and your wife has the kids all day, you've got to be prepared to put work behind you, tiredness behind you, and do something with those kids. You've got to do that. We used to go to all kinds of things. Some of them worked, some of them didn't. And there's always something that you can do. It doesn't always have to involve spending money. I used to take our kids down to the cattle market on a Saturday morning. We used to count sheep and watch farmers. Very interesting group of men, as Anne will know, and Alison. And we used to watch what they were saying and doing and all kinds of things like that. Never cost us a penny. Actually, I took Alfie Ted a few months ago, but unfortunately, you cannot get everywhere around the cattle market like you used to be able to do nowadays. So we ended up doing swings, I think. Oh, he's outside, isn't he? We ended up doing swings or something like that. But yeah, it doesn't always have to cost you money. You can just do stuff. But have fun. You've got to be a fun dad. Christians are known for a lot of things, and there's a lot of good principles in Scripture that we should live our lives by. But one of them that Christians are not known for is fun. You've got to change it. Christians are the boring ones. We've got to absolutely change that. Okay, train them. Dads, you are pastors of a small church. Your home. You've got to model that. You've got to evangelize your kids because they need saving. They're not born saved by inheritance. You've got to disciple them. That's what pastors do. You've got to encourage them. You've got to love them. You've got to teach Scripture to them. You've got to answer their questions, and you've got to pray for them. When they're there and when they're not there, keep praying for them. We still pray for ours now. Me and Angela go out for a walk together 3 times a week at least, and we pray for our kids. Okay? Yeah. So all those things you can actually share with your wife, but you are, again, I want to say, fathers, you have prime responsibility. Okay? If your kids see you read the Bible, they will probably enjoy reading the Bible. I've got to say what you see is this thing that has been spoken over me. Say what you see. And so I see parents not discipline their children. I see parents doing all this thing. Say what you see. Well, what do I see? I see fathers not taking much notice of their kids. I see fathers, not just in here, but out there as well, not spending time with their kids, quite happy for them to play on games. I'll tell you this honestly, because I'm not just, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to tell you something that I haven't done. Our kids never had a television in their room until they were gone 16. Jordan never had a telly in his room. And actually, when he moved into his own house a year ago, he never had a telly. His mate left him one, and I think he hooked it up before Christmas. And he's going to give him it back when he comes back in another couple of months. He doesn't have a telly even now. They never had a video game. Were they still popular at school? Absolutely. Did they go around to the mate's house and play Xbox or something from time to time? I'm sure they did. If you let your child have a telly in the bedroom, you have no idea what is shaping them, what they are seeing, what they are watching. And they can pull the wool over your eyes. Our Jordan is, both our boys are really quite bright. I don't know how that happened, but it must be skipped a generation, actually. But our Jordan blagged his way through his GCSEs because he shut his bedroom door and told us that he was revising, when actually he was listening to music with his headphones on. And because we respected his privacy and let him get on with his revising, we didn't realise what he was doing. You need to know what your kids are doing behind closed doors, guys. And he winged his way through his GCSEs and got some good grades, who knows how. But, just because he's bright, obviously. But he didn't need to revise. Some of us need to revise. Some of our kids, they'll just wing it. He's probably learnt a lot more since he left school anyway. But if your kids see you read the Bible, they'll probably read it. If your kids see you singing in church and jumping up and down and bouncing around, they'll probably do the same thing. Kids love dancing. You've only got to watch a daft dinosaur, purple dinosaur on television to see how many kids like dancing around. Well, let's dance around with this 3 meters yellow bird with a big beak sticking out. Let's dance and play songs. Yes, of course we will. You don't look like a 6 foot yellow bird or a purple dinosaur or anything like that. So the chances are that they'll dance with you or jump up and down or clap or raise their hands if you do. If they see you pray, they will. But let me tell you, if they see you shouting and swearing, they'll probably do that as well. Yep. And when I take them out, they tell me. My dad shouts, "Stupid man!" That's a great one. I love all that. Although the other week, Alfie Ted told me, "Dave, you are..." Alfie Ted said to me the other week, "Dave, you are often very loud." Okay, I'm going to finish now. Why do we say all this? Why do we say all this? That it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Many of you are the first link in the chain. No Christians in our family before us. We had churchgoers, but as far as I understand, we didn't have Christians. Many of you, I've looked around the church, not relating to this, but I was amazed at how many of us have no Christian heritage. We're just born again. We're the first link in the chain. The change can come with you. You can be the big change maker. And are we going to read out genealogies about your family like we read these wonderful genealogies in the Bible? We read them at Christmas, some of the stories there. You read them in the Old Testament. And so-and-so begets so-and-so, and so-and-so, so-and-so, and they're fantastic. Some of these wonderful genealogies. And who knows? Your family could have been a right hideous background. You see these people. Do you know that in Jesus' genealogy, they've got so many prostitutes and so many murderers and so many all kinds of things. In Jesus' genealogy, you can change things. And what the church becomes, this is serious, what the church becomes is largely down to you. Because if you're not showing that you love God when you take your kids to church, and if you're not showing encouragement to your kids, when they get a chance to make a decision, they'll probably not bother. Okay, very good. I'm going to finish. Let's pray. So much things to say about it. I could just go on and on and on, but I've already gone on and on and on. Father, we just want to say thank you for giving us this name, for the men here who are fathers. Thank you for giving us this name that we share with you. What a joy. I thank you for the honor that it is, for the joy that it is to be a father. Lord, we remember that time when we were often, for many of us, we were there at the birth of our children. It's a joy. And Lord, we thank you that though it be wrong to say that there are never any challenges, Lord, we want our parenting, we want our fathering to be a joy to us, Lord. And we thank you that you have provided an outline for each and every one of us that can help us absolutely get the most out of our relationship to our children and our relationship to you. Lord, thank you for being an example to us. Father God, we thank you for being an example to us. Thank you that you so loved the world. You did more than just send your son, which is the biggest thing, but we thank you that you put so many things in place that we might have life and life in all its fullness. So we ask that you would help us to step into that. Pray that we would take encouragement and exhortation, and that the Holy Spirit, that you would help us to recognize the things that we could do better for the benefit of our children and to glorify you. Amen. Okay, thank you so much. Pete is next week. And...